often use these words, don't we? It's time to. And we use them in numerous ways. It is time to go. It is time to get ready. It is time to take the test. It is time to eat. It's time to get serious. It's time to quit playing around. It's time to leave. Now, I don't mean y'all leave right now. But we use those words, it is time to, a lot more than we ever think that we use them. And what's interesting is this, when we use those words, it is time to do something, there are three inferences that are made when we use those words. Number one, a certain time has arrived. It is time to go. You've made the announcement that at 5:40 we're leaving, and guess what? It is 5:40, isn't it? It is time to go. That certain time has arrived. A second way we use the word is this. A lot of time has been wasted, and guess what? Now we need to focus, don't we? A team has played horrible basketball for 3 quarters. And the coach calls them over and he says, guys, it is time to focus. You've wasted 3 quarters, boys. You hadn't focused. You haven't done what needs to be done. We're losing this ball game. You've got 1 quarter to overcome. It is time to get focused. Don't waste any more time. Get ready and focus on what needs to be done. Or this one. The circumstances have developed in such a way that something desperately needs to be done. You open up your closet. It is time to clean this closet. Now, most people just shut the door, don't they? You know? But you see, the circumstances have developed that I can't shut the door anymore. And there's stuff coming out of it that I didn't even know was in it. It's time to do what? Clean the closet. So the circumstances have developed in such a way that something needs to be done. The title of our lesson is this. It's time to grow. And we use that in 3 different ways. If you are a brand new Christian, if you are what we refer to as a new convert, folks, the very moment you put on Christ, the very moment you are born into the family of God, it is time to grow, is it not? Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long, long time. And for some reason or another, you have not grown, you have not developed, you have wasted weeks and months and years of your life. Well, guess what, folks? It is time to grow, isn't it? When you and I look at the condition of congregations, when you and I look at the condition of our brotherhood in many places, guess what? It is time for some individuals to grow. We need individuals to arise, and we need individuals to do things that desperately need to be done in order for our congregations, in order for our brotherhood to be bigger, better, and more successful. It is time for some individuals to grow. We're going to be talking about 3 points in this lesson. The first is this: growth is commanded. Sometimes that little word grow or growth is specifically stated in the text, specifically stated as a command for us. Ephesians 4 verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is Christ. Folks, our Lord wants us growing in Christ as a body. Peter spoke these words in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. He's given us the thing that will help us to grow, the milk of the Word, and He says, I need you to grow through that milk. And then there's 1 Peter, or 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's absolutely no doubt when you read the Bible, God wants us what? God wants us growing in Him. Sometimes growth is not specifically stated, but it is implied by the use of a certain word. Take, for instance, this one, increasing. Colossians 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful unto every good work, and increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. Folks, that increasing means what? Growing. Gaining more and more and more and more knowledge of God's truth. We have another word, add. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. When you and I became Christians, we manifested faith in the Word of God, didn't we? In fact, we confessed that faith before we were baptized into Christ. But faith alone is not enough in our lives. And Peter says, I need you to add something to your faith. And he lists 7 Christian qualities that need to be added to our faith in that text. I need you to what? I need you to grow by possessing these attributes. Maybe prosper is another one, isn't it? John was writing to a friend of his, a brother in Christ by the name of Gaius. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But notice this, even as thy soul prospereth. Wow. I need your soul to prosper. I need your soul to be gaining and increasing and becoming more and more and more valuable in nature. I need you to grow. There's a little word that we use sometimes called perfect in the Bible, or perfection. Take, for instance, Matthew 5, verse 48. Jesus says, Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I cannot be perfect from a sin standpoint, can I? There's not a person in here who can live a life totally, completely, absolutely free from sin. So what is Jesus talking about? Be perfect like God is perfect. Folks, you and I must grow up. You and I must develop our maturity. You and I must become full-blooded adults in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want a bunch of little children running around. He wants His children to become full-grown men and women. The Hebrew writer says the same thing in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection. Here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Is there more that I could be learning? Is there more that I can be doing? Are there things that I desperately need to be adding to my life to make me a better, stronger child of God? Every one of us need to be growing in Christ, don't we? Point number 2, growth in the Bible is pictured. And there's several different pictures of growth in the Bible. Sometimes he talks about human maturity as part of a growth process in Christ. When you and I are baptized into Christ, we are born into the family of God. God looks upon us as little bitty babies, doesn't He? We saw that just a moment ago. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. But here's something that's interesting. The Bible condemns individuals who remain babies. The Bible rebukes individuals who ought to be adults, who remain little children in Christ. Didn't Paul rebuke the Corinthians for that very thing? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I should have been able to talk to you as adults, but I couldn't do that. I have to talk to you as if you are little bitty children. You guys need to what? You guys need to grow up. That's what he's telling them. And the Hebrew writer told the Hebrew Christians the same thing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. For strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Notice that he contrasts babies and full-grown Christians, doesn't he? He even tells them, you should have, by this time, reached a point where you are no longer just students, but you are teachers, but you haven't gotten there yet. You should have grown to that point. You're still sucking on the bottle when you ought to be eating steak and baked potatoes. It's a rebuke against those individuals, isn't it? Folks, there comes a time when Christians are to grow. Growth is also noted in the plant life as well, isn't it? You go to Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and the psalm says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now listen to me. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You and I are to be blooming, fruitful, green, flourishing trees in the kingdom of God. God doesn't want to look down on no dead tree. What do we do with dead trees? Cut them down, don't we? There's another passage, Psalm 92, beginning verse 12. "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree." That sounds like Florida, doesn't it? I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, we got a few tall palm trees. I look there up there and I see those little dead branches. And I said, who in the world is going to climb up there and cut those things off? That's a long way. When you see one of those tall, tall pine trees, you know what you need to be reminded of? You need to be reminded of a flourishing Christian. But notice he also compares them. "He shall grow like what? Like the cedars of Lebanon." We've talked about those cedars in the building of Solomon's temple, haven't we? Folks, they weren't just little bitty cedar trees like we have around here. They were like the giant sequoias found in California. They were like those redwood trees found in that same state. Massive, towering trees. And notice he says that the righteous are supposed to be what? Like the tall, huge cedar trees of Lebanon. He goes on, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God." I kept this next verse in there for us at Oceanside. "They shall bring forth fruit in old age." Folks, old age ain't an excuse. Okay? Now the last part of that might apply too. "They shall be fat and flourishing." He's not trying to be demeaning, is he? He's not talking about weight. He's talking about how big that fruit is. Have you ever seen a huge tomato? And we used to have a guy, he'd plant 100 tomato plants every year. 100, that's a lot of plants, folks. And sometimes he'd bring you a tomato that looked almost like a football. And you look at the thing and you say, that's one fat tomato. It was big. You can make about 10 sandwiches out of that thing. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us flourishing. He wants us to be fat. He wants us to be individuals who are bringing forth an abundance of fruit. We are to grow in Christ Jesus. I love this next one. Growth is compared to light in Proverbs 4, verse 18. Notice what he says. And the path of the just is as a shining light, which shineth more and more unto perfect day. Kathleen has her alarm clock set at 5:12 in the morning, every morning. Well, Monday through Friday. 5:12, that alarm goes off, and Vic's up too. Want to or not. You look outside and guess what? It is just as dark as it can be. I go take a shower, come back into the kitchen, and guess what I see? L-I-G-H-T, light. Not much. I can look in the backyard. I can kind of see the shrubs. See the next door neighbor's fence. It's not bright. But guess what? Light is shining, isn't it? Ate a little something. I go out, I open the garage door, and guess what? It's even brighter. As I'm driving to work, I go over the Intracoastal, and guess what I see? I get to see the sunrise over the horizon. You see that sun, and it's even brighter, isn't it? Come to work, leave around lunchtime, and that sun is at high noon, isn't it? Just as bright as it can be. What's happened to the light? It's grown, hasn't it? And that's what he says here. But the path of the just is as a shining light that does what? Shineth more and more unto perfect day. Folks, you and I ought to be growing brighter and brighter and brighter as God's people every day of our lives. If you are just as dull today as you were when you became a Christian, something wrong with your light. You need some adjustments, you know that? How about this one? Positions. Positions. Remember a while ago in Hebrews 5:12, for when for the time ye ought to be what? Teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You see, the development of a Christian involves his accepting new positions in the body of Christ. You are not supposed to remain a student all your life only. You're supposed to grow. You're supposed to mature. You're supposed to get better. And you are supposed to accept positions in the body of Christ. And Paul talks about those positions in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There's positions in the body of Christ that desperately need to be filled, do they not? Guess what those positions are for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the what? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The reason we have individuals in upper positions is so that they can train and teach those that are under them, so that they can rise and eventually take those positions as well. One of these days. Larry and Bill are going to be gone, whether we like it or not. It's true, isn't it? Who's going to fill the position? Somebody needs to, don't they? A church is not in complete order unless it has elders, according to Titus 1, verse 5. Who's going to fill the position? One of these days, Vic's going to die. Who's going to take the position? We need preachers, do we not? Teachers move away. Teachers die. We need individuals taking those positions in teaching positions. And those that accept those positions and those who fulfill those positions show their growth in Christ Jesus. I thought about David. Did David grow through his positions? Well, he started off as what? Just a little shepherd lad, didn't he? I don't know how many sheep that he oversaw, but it wasn't a big flock because his brothers made fun of him about his little flock that he had left to come to the battlefield. Somewhere along the way, he learned to play a harp. I don't know who taught him, but he learned to play a harp, did he not? And he got so good that he was hired and brought into the court of Saul. He became the sweet psalmist of Israel, didn't he? Amazing. He was so talented and continued to develop that the Bible says he became the armor bearer of Saul. We don't talk about that very much, do we? He kept that armor. He made certain that armor was always ready. When that armor was donned, he helped Saul get it on. When he brought it back, he cleaned it all up, made any repairs that need to be made. He was a fighter, wasn't he? He goes at a young age to the field of battle, and there's old Goliath. And what did he say? Let's run! No! I'll fight him. Let me at him. And he dropped that Goliath on that battlefield, didn't he? And because of that, he became a soldier, not just a soldier. He became a commander in the armed forces of Saul himself. And eventually, he became the king of Israel, didn't he? Folks, that is the number one commander in the nation, isn't it? Whatever the king says, that goes. But he had another position that was even higher than that one, didn't he? He was a prophet of the Almighty God. David didn't stay in a lowly position of a shepherd all of his life. Here's a young man who grew. Here's a young man who matured. Here's a young man who developed and was used by God doing great things in the kingdom of God. The position that you and I accept within the church proves our growth in Christ Jesus. Let's talk about the third point. How is my growth measured? Number one, we've talked about this, by your knowledge. Do I have more knowledge today than I did yesterday? Maybe we should ask it like this. Do I have more knowledge this year than I did last year? You see, there's some individuals, as far as their knowledge of the Word of God is concerned, it is very, very meager from year after year. God's watching about how much you know about what's found in this book. Remember we said in our first lesson this morning, our master teacher wants us to master all 66 books of this curriculum, doesn't he? Point number two, my participation. As a child grows in a home, does he participate more therein? Yeah. He gets to be a certain age, and mama finally looks at him, and guess what she says? Take that garbage out, boy. And guess what? Little boy takes the garbage out, doesn't he? Gets a little bit bigger and dad says, it's about time for you to learn how to operate a lawnmower. He learns to work a lawnmower, doesn't he? And then all of a sudden, for some reason, mama brings him in. She says, boy, you need to learn how to wash and dry and fold your clothes. Well, mama, that's a woman's job. That ain't good. But he learns to wash and dry and fold his clothes, doesn't he? Learns to wash dishes. Learns what it means to vacuum. Might even know a little bit about dusting. You see, as you grow in a home, what do? You participate more. And the same is true when you're a worker at work. Isn't that right? You start, you don't know much about your job. They kind of leave you alone. You're happy for about a month. Then once you get to know your job, they just keep putting more mess on you, don't they? We need you to do this. We need you to do that. We need you to do this. We need you to do that. They don't pay you anymore. They just want you to do more. And all of us have been subject to that, haven't we? But it's because you're growing as an employee in that corporation. And the same is true of a player on a ball field. Isn't that true? You might get stuck at first carrying out all the equipment. Have to carry it all back in the locker room. You become the dummy for the others who are hitting dummies on the field. But finally you develop and you grow. And now guess what? You're the one hitting dummies. And you're the one who gets to play on Friday nights. Why? Because you've grown, you've developed in your skills and in your abilities, haven't you? And my friends, the same is true in the body of Christ. Our participation in a local congregation tells the Lord whether I'm growing or not. And it is sad to see brethren who choose to do less than do more. That is not what God wants out of us. When it comes to worship, when it comes to Bible study, when it comes to the works of the church, when it comes to the use of my talents and my abilities, fulfilling my role in the body of Christ, well, the church just ain't doing what it's supposed to do. What are you doing to help it? You've been a member of the church 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You ought to be one of the main cogs in that congregation, making it successful. Folks, it takes the body to be successful. It takes every member laboring, working, using their talents and abilities, being a part of the congregation to make it successful. It doesn't just happen. We have to grow as a congregation. What about experience? Does that cause us to grow? Oh, yes, it does. Notice what Paul said. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulations work what? Patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. When you and I look back on our lives, we see a lot of hard, difficult, nasty, unfun things that we went through, didn't we? But guess what? We are who we are today because of those unfun things. Have we not gone through them? Have we not had to suffer through them? We'd just be weak, helpless little individuals. But we're not. Our experiences are part of the growth process. That's why we can rejoice in our tribulations. Paul said, well, I glory in them because they make me a better person. How about this next one? We've talked about it, right? Our positions. This is what Paul says. This is a true saying. If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now that almost seems selfish, doesn't it? It almost seems arrogant. Here's a man who desires the office of a bishop. You want to know why he desires it? Because of where he's grown in Christ Jesus. That's why. The body of Christ needs me in that position. I meet the qualifications. I know I can do the work. And so therefore, yes, I desire to be put in that particular position. It's not because I'm arrogant or haughty. That's not why I want it. It's because it's where God wants me to be in the growth process. What I find interesting is this. He says, he desireth a good what? A good work. It's not about position, is it? I want to be an elder because it's the highest position in the church at this particular time. It's not about popularity. It's not about power. I desire what? I desire the work that's involved therein. And folks, let me tell you, if an elder does it right, it's work. It's work. And if he grows to that particular point in his life, how beautiful that is it not? How about fruit? Jesus talks about that, but the other fell on good ground and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. When God looks at my life, guess what he wants to see? Fruit. What I find amazing about that text is not everybody's going to produce the same, are they? Some 30, some 60, some 100. Oh, we love the 100-fold, don't we? It's almost like we look down on the 30-fold. God doesn't. As long as I'm what? Producing. That's what He wants me to do. How about discipline? But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. When a person is able to discipline himself to do the things that need to be done spiritually, whether that's resist sin or whether that means studying the Word of God, whether that means giving myself to prayer, whatever it is, I'm disciplined to do what God wants me to do. I've grown. I've grown. I got a whole nother lesson right here. 10 points. Told you it's another lesson. Maybe two lessons. We know whether a person is grown by their attitude. You know that? We'll just go through them quickly. Folks, we need to manifest faith, not doubt and fear. I find it interesting that the Bible talks about little faith and the Bible talks about great faith, doesn't it? There's a difference. And you can grow from little faith to great faith if you want to. How about this next one? Positive versus negative. If you're a real Christian, if you're somebody who's full grown, folks, you don't get negative about the church. You get positive about the church. I got the Lord on my side, do I not? Oh yeah, there may be some negative things going on, but I'm not going to get negative. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, aren't we? We love, we don't hate. Folks, all the gospel can be said in one word, and it's L-O-V-E, love. Do you know that? We're to be kind, not cruel. If I'm a grown person, and I walk into a restaurant and I see an individual there and he's struggling to eat, I'm not going to be cruel to that individual, am I? No, I'm an adult. Now, a kid may walk by and laugh at him. May make fun of him. That's not what we do. We're adults. We may even walk over and help the individual, mightn't we? That's a sign of adulthood. Being kind to other people. I'm patient. I don't give up. I'm content. I'm not discontent. I encourage other individuals. I'm not judgmental toward them. I rejoice. I don't go around complaining all the time. Folks, what do we have in Christ Jesus? We have salvation, do we not? We have hope. I don't have a lot to complain about. I don't live in a third world country. I'm a pretty blessed individual, aren't you? We seek peace, not strife. Kids like to fight, don't they? Not adults. I do everything I can do to bring peace to a situation. We listen rather than constantly speaking all the time. An adult's able to shut his mouth, isn't he? I'm calm. I'm not distressed. I'm selfless, not selfish. As an adult, I volunteer. I don't have to be begged to do something. You beg kids, don't you? Isn't it wonderful when you see a kid walk into his mom and say, "Hey, Mom, guess what? I made my bed today." And when Mom gets up off the floor, she's so happy, isn't she? Because I didn't have to beg Him to do it. He did it all by Himself. You know what that tells Mom? He's growing up, isn't he? Growth is natural, isn't it? We live in a military community, and sometimes men are home, and maybe a woman's at home. She has a baby, and then all of a sudden one of them has to get deployed somewhere, and they may be deployed 9 months, 10 months, 12 months. That's a long time. When they left that little baby with the mom holding it, still nursing her at her breast. When they come home, do you expect Do they expect to see the same child doing the same thing? No. It's been a year. That little guy's grown up. He's drinking Coca-Cola now. He's running around the house, isn't he? Hey, he's tearing up the house. That little sweet thing done become something else. But guess what? Nobody complains. Nobody says a word. You want to know why? Growth is natural, isn't it? How about this one? Growth is useful. Aren't you glad corn grows up, develops some ears that are big enough to pluck, and finally you can take them home and shuck that corn and cook it and eat it? It'd be terrible if it just stayed stalks in the ground all the time, wouldn't it? And here's something else, folks. Growth is beautiful. Gets to be springtime at our house. I do the big yard, and I cut and edge and blow and all that stuff. We got the front of the house, and we got a back porch, and Kathleen loves to put flowers and stuff. That's the thing that makes it pretty. Okay, what I do, that's just maintenance. So when it gets to be springtime, off we go to Walmart, off we go to Lowe's, off we go to Home Depot, off we go to the nursery. Yep, all those places. And guess what we do? We buy flowers, don't we? Buy little vines and all kinds of little stuff that she knows what is and I don't. She plants all that stuff in all those little pots and stuff, and she puts that on the porch, and yeah, at the time, it looks pretty good. A lot better than being totally empty, isn't it? We're 3 months into the summer as far as Florida's concerned. We started planting those things way back in April. We're almost through with June. Guess what? Those flowers, those plants have grown. They're blooming. And you go by now and you go, wow, ain't that pretty? You see, growth is what? Growth is a beautiful thing. And when it comes to us in Christ, our growth ought to be natural. Our growth ought to be useful. And when others see our growth in Christ, they ought to look at us and say, wow, what a beautiful thing. Question. Are you growing? Are you growing? You know. God knows. If not, remember the title of our lesson? It's time. It is time to grow. Maybe you need to start that growth process by just being obedient to the gospel of Christ. You've heard the gospel. You just need to commit to it now. Jesus said, for if you believe not that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. You believe. Jesus tells us to repent or perish, Luke 13:3. Die to that old way of sin. He says, then step before men and confess me before them. Matthew 10:32. You can do that today. Don't have a big audience, but we've got enough here, don't we? If you'll do that, we'll bury you in the waters of baptism. Bury that old man of sin, and you'll rise a new creature in Christ Jesus. Folks, that starts the growth process, doesn't it? You're a Christian. Have you grown? Are you where the Lord really wants you to be? Do you need to repent and ask him to forgive you? You need the prayers of this church. Won't you come as we stand and sing?